This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, December 17th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. We've got a lot to do today, but first I want to take a minute on the tragedy up in Newtown, Connecticut last Friday. Of course, almost too horrific to speak about, but I thought the general reaction was as good as it could be. I think the problem is much bigger than one guy with mental health issues loading up the guns and shooting a bunch of people. Obviously, everybody knows the list now in the last 5-10 years or so. It's really just a tragedy. You'd like to think that these troubled people would just go out and take themselves out and forget about everybody else. But this is obviously particularly horrific because of the young ages of 20 of the victims. My children went to elementary school in Ridgefield, Connecticut, which is just 10 miles from Newtown, Connecticut. And Newtown is really what you've heard it is, a sleepy New England town, beautiful place, nice people, great place to raise a family. And then, you know, the whole world is shattered, not just for these families who have lost children, but my goodness, think of all the kids who knew about this shooting and heard it and saw it. I mean, it's almost too hard to imagine. So yes, anything you can do, keep them in your prayers. But my goodness, talk to your children. It really is just an unspeakable tragedy and inexplicable. Again, I understand there are troubled people in the world, and this is not the place for the whole gun control talk. Obviously, something has to be done. You can't have 20-year-olds walking into schools or anywhere else with semi-automatics, even if their mother legally owned them. I mean, it sounds like a total lunatic story. But having said all that, thoughts and prayers out to those families and, frankly, the kids who survived. Obviously, they're lucky and their parents are lucky, but they have a long road to go ahead of them, both as a community and as a town and an individual family, literally child to child. Yesterday, we'll start with the NFL, gigantic day in the NFL. A big game up in New England. We'll start in Foxborough, and just a fascinating game after New England had just destroyed Houston last week. I mean, last week it wasn't a game. And with the role New England was on, San Francisco coming across the country, it'd be hard to believe, with Colin Kaepernick, as good as he is, a rookie quarterback, it was hard to believe that the 49ers could win this game. But not only were they winning it, and they did win it, as you know, San Francisco 41, New England 34, but they totally dominated the Patriots like I just haven't seen since that Raven playoff game when the Ravens dominated New England. But yesterday, Kaepernick, 25-yard touchdown pass to Randy Moss, of all people, and you know Randy Moss loved that. They looked like they were going to have even a bigger lead than they did. That's the joke. Kaepernick, the biggest problem he had was handling the snap from center. He must have dropped five of them. But there was one play early, up 7-0, fourth and inches. He fumbled the snap, so they couldn't score there. Delanie Walker catches the 34-yard touchdown pass from Kaepernick, 14-0, 17-3. I mean, it's not even a game. The one time they caught a gigantic break, Kaepernick fumbles the snap. Frank Gore actually picks it up on like the 6 or 7 yard line of the Patriots and runs it in. So he recovers the fumble and scores a touchdown on a 24-3. Crabtree, 28-yard touchdown, 31-3. I mean, the game was over. And I understand it was the Patriots, but the game was over. I mean, Ridley fumbled twice. Every running back they put in Danny Woodhead. Because whatever you think of Danny Woodhead, and he's a superior football player, even though he's a little guy, he doesn't fumble. And Ridley fumbled, Vereen fumbled. I think the Patriots had 10 turnovers before yesterday's game. They had 4 yesterday. Now, credit San Francisco. But down 31-3 in what would have been one of the great comebacks of all time if they had come all the way back, Danny Woodhead rushes in for a score. He wouldn't have even been on the field if it wasn't for the other guys fumbling. 31-10. Then Brady, if you saw it, I thought they wasted a lot of time. Brady on fourth and goal sneaks over at the start of the fourth quarter, but they had first and goal from like the two with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. And rather than run the sneak, they actually ran a bunch of running plays, all of which were stuffed. And, you know, the game would have been over right there, I think, if Brady doesn't make it. He makes it 31-17. He then hits Hernandez with a five-yard TD pass, 31-24. Woodhead scores another touchdown to tie it up at 31. And there was still lots of time left in the game. But with the score tied at 31, with obviously all the momentum in New England's favor, and they're playing at home, and they came back from 31-3 down, it turns very quickly in the NFL. LaMichael James, who hasn't played a whole lot this year for San Francisco, returns the kickoff after the tying touchdown by Woodhead, returns the kickoff 62 yards to the 38-yard line of the Patriots, and the first play, an all-out blitz by New England, but give Colin Kaepernick credit. He hits Michael Crabtree. Crabtree only has to make one move on the corner who's guarding him, and he goes right by him and walks into the end zone untouched. 38-yard touchdown, 62-yard return, 38-yard touchdown. So literally 25 seconds after the Patriots had tied up the game, they were down 38-31. Patriots couldn't score after that. Credit the San Francisco defense. They had some tough fourth down calls, I thought. Not that they shouldn't have gone for it with 2:22 left with two timeouts. I think they should have, but they ran like a 12-yard route. Brady is so good at these 3-yard slants or 3-yard outs or 4-yard button hooks. It seemed to me that they had 10 different ways to get that first down. Instead, they decided to throw. There were two issues, whether they should go for it, fourth and two with 2:22 left in the game with two timeouts and a two-minute warning. I think it was the right decision to go for it. If Kaepernick gets the first down, the game is over. But they just couldn't convert. In fact, the Patriots were just normally great on fourth down. They were just not good on fourth down. They made a few, don't get me wrong, but the two biggest ones they did not make. Final score, San Francisco 41, New England 34. Now, New England has already clinched the AFC East, but obviously now their chances of a bye, which is all important when you're trying to get to the Super Bowl, have been compromised. San Francisco has clinched the playoff spot, but they have not yet mathematically clinched their division. But a huge win for San Francisco, a huge win for Colin Kaepernick. You hate to see Alex Smith lose his job the way he lost his job, but you really have to wonder, is this a Drew Bledsoe-Tom Brady deal? You know, Drew Bledsoe lost his job because he got hurt when Mo Lewis knocked him out of bounds there. You know, a lot of people in New York, Mo Lewis of the Jets, of course, a lot of people in New York say Mo Lewis is the MVP of the New England Patriots for the last 11 or 12 years because he knocked Drew Bledsoe out. Brady came into the game, and as they say, the rest is history. But yesterday, a huge win for San Francisco. I think New England can take away from the fact that they were down 31-3. They came all the way back to tie. Obviously, no moral victories for the New England Patriots. 49ers 41, New England 34. Just, again, a very interesting game. Poorly reffed, I thought, in the first half, but that's irrelevant. The numbers, Colin Kaepernick, 14 for 25, 216 yards, four touchdown passes, and this guy has a gun. If you watch the game, you know he threw a 94-mile-per-hour fastball. He was going to go to college to play baseball, decided to play football. Football was his first love. Four touchdowns, one pick. And the scary thing to me for the Patriots is they really held him in check running-wise. He did have that gigantic, and it was gigantic, 19-yard scramble. But he only had 28 yards on the ground. Gore was 21 for 83. Crabtree, 7 receptions for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns. Moss, 2 for 36, including that touchdown early. Tom Brady had to throw it up too much at the end. They tried to establish a running game, and they really never could. Brady, 35 for 65 for 443, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. I believe they both were deflected. Danny Woodhead, 12 for 61 and 2 touchdowns. Lloyd, 10 receptions for 190 yards. Now, Lloyd got most of the throws because Welker was double-teamed the whole game. Hernandez was double-teamed most of the game. So Lloyd, 10 for 190. Hernandez, still 10 for 92. Welker only, and it's because it's Wes Welker. Welker only 5 for 56. But a huge win for the 49ers, 41-34 over the Patriots. Another gigantic game, this one where both teams had to win. The prior game, I don't think either team absolutely had to win. I thought it was a bigger game for the 49ers. But yesterday, the Steelers and the Cowboys, both of them 7-6, both of them trying to win, trying to make the playoffs, a gigantic game and an excellent game. Steelers go down to Dallas, but Dallas, which has turned around its season and found a way to win the games that it was losing earlier, beating the Bengals by a point yesterday in overtime, Cowboys 27, Steelers 24. A very exciting game, but a huge win for the Cowboys. They're now 8-6, tied for first in the NFC East, three-way tie. We'll get to the standings later. The Steelers right now at 7-7, kind of on the outside looking in right now, frankly. But a very exciting game. Witten scores a touchdown early, 17-yard catch from Tony Romo, up 10-0. But the Steelers come back to tie it. Heath Miller, their own very good tight end, catching a touchdown pass. Dez Bryant, despite that injured hand, and you could tell it affected him if you watched that game was on nationally, Dez Bryant with a 24-yard touchdown catch, but he did have a bad, certainly a bad hand. Then Big Ben hits Mike Wallace for a 60-yard crossing route down to the one, and then they punch it in from there to tie it up at 17. Antonio Brown with a 7-yard TD catch puts them up, but then he fumbles a punt later on. Dallas returns it, and DeMarco Murray rushes it in from like the 2-yard line to tie it up at 24. In overtime, Steelers win the toss, get the ball, but Ben Roethlisberger throws an interception. Brandon Carr with a great interception. Now, I think it was Phil Simms who said that wasn't such a bad pass, but it absolutely was a bad pass, because if you watch the replay, it was not to the outside of the receiver. It was not to the out-of-bounds line. It was not where only a Steeler could catch it. Carr made a fantastic diving catch, fell down, was not touched, picked it up in overtime, ran it back to like the 1 or 2 yard line, and then after they centered the ball, Andrew Bailey kicks the game-winning field goal. Cowboys 27, Steelers 24, Cowboys 8-6, Steelers 7-7. A sidelight to all of that was nose tackle Josh Brent, who, as you know, was arrested for drunk driving and speeding in a one-car accident where his roommate, friend, teammate, Jerry Brown, died, was on the sidelines, and there was a lot of talk about that up in the booth during the game. But, you know, it's always dangerous to talk when you don't have all the facts. And the facts were Jerry Brown, who was on the Dallas taxi squad, his mother wanted Dallas to support Josh Brent, and if they wanted him to be on the sidelines, that was okay with her. The coach, Jason Garrett, said that after the game, so you have to have an understanding of what was going on. Josh Brent is a member of the Dallas Cowboys, so they really did support him. But it was with the wishes of Jerry Brown's mother, saying that Josh was like a son to her as well, and she didn't want the Cowboys to hold it against him. Now, who knows what the legal system's going to do? But that was a sidelight. Again, you got to know the facts before you're really going to criticize people. Cowboys 27, Steelers 24. What can you say about Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos? I mean, just a stunning day. Denver 34, Baltimore 17. No Sean Moreno, 22 rushes for 118 yards and a touchdown. This game really was not about Peyton Manning, who was 17 for 29 for 204 yards, one touchdown, no picks. I don't want to say he was a game manager, but it was more about the whole Denver team. Chris Harris, a 97-yard interception return. Flacco tried to throw it down and out into the end zone with like 20 seconds left in the first half, down 10-0, but Chris Harris intercepted it, ran it back 97 yards. Instead of 10-3 or 10-7, Denver's up 17-0, and the game, for all intents and purposes, is over right there. He would later hit Eric Decker with a 51-yard TD strike, 24-0, and again, Denver coasts to a 34-17 win. The Ravens score 14 in the last quarter to make it barely respectable. Again, Moreno, 22 rushes for 118 yards and a touchdown. Decker, 8 receptions for 133 yards and a touchdown. Manning is certainly an MVP candidate. Flacco, 20 for 40 for 254 yards, 2 TDs, 1 pick. Ray Rice, only 12 rushes for 38 yards. Give Denver's defense credit. Pitta, 7 receptions for 125 yards and 2 TDs, but not enough. Broncos, 34. Ravens, 17. Broncos 11-3. Baltimore drops to 9-5, and they're really making a that division interesting. We'll get to the standings eventually later in the show. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
See the hottest musical event that's part talent show, part fairy tale, and all fun. Disney on Ice presents Rockin' Ever After. Introducing Merida from Disney Pixar's Brave. And featuring Ariel, Belle, and Rapunzel. Come luck out when Disney on Ice hits your town.
You and your family are invited to get kids' tickets for $10. Restrictions and fees may apply. Tickets available at Northeast Ohio Discount Drug Mart locations and theqarena.com. Playing Quicken Loans Arena, January 11th through 21st.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going through the games in the NFL from yesterday. Another huge game, the Redskins in Cleveland to play the Browns. The Browns have been playing great, but I say this every year about the Browns. I think they're going to be good. They start out terrible. They finish strongly, but they certainly are better of late. And interestingly, for the Redskins, RG3 apparently wanted to play, and they decided, probably correctly, to keep him out. But there is no doubt after the game, if you saw the interview with RG3, that he was upset. That he was ready to go, and they decided it. And, you know, he says the right things all the time, RG3. He said, it's their decision. I respect their decision. Doesn't mean I have to agree with it. But he clearly was not happy and did not agree with it. Having said that, I was hoping he would throw some bouquets of Kirk Cousins' way, because Cousins won the game last week, and he played very well yesterday, and there's certainly no Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith in the Redskins' future. RG3 is going to be the quarterback there for 10, 12, 15 years as long as he stays healthy. But in yesterday's game, Kirk Cousins had a good game. He showed a lot of stick-to-itiveness as the Browns got up early. And what happened was Cousins started off poorly. He was 1-for-6. With an interception. Trent Richardson runs it in after T.J. Ward's interception for a 6-yard touchdown to put Cleveland up 7-0. But Cousins came back. He hit Hankerson for a 54-yard touchdown, and later in the game would hit him again. Rob Jackson had a big interception to Brandon Wheaton. Alfred Morris had 2 rushing touchdowns, and eventually Washington would pull away. Washington 38, Cleveland 21. Washington now becomes, even though they're tied with the Giants and Dallas record-wise, they are in first place on tiebreakers. Yesterday, Cousins was very good, 26-for-37, 329 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. And again, that's after going 1-for-6. He was 25 for his last 31. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. Morris, who has been great for the Redskins, 27 rushes for 87 yards and 2 touchdowns. Pierre Garçon, 6 receptions for 65 yards. Hankerson with only 2 catches, but both of them for touchdowns, 1 for 54 yards, 1 for 2 yards. Santana Morse had a good game as well, 5 for 57. Whedon, 21 of 35, 244 yards for the Browns, 1 touchdown, 2 picked. Richardson, only 11 rushes for 28 yards. He did have 2 rushing touchdowns, but they really couldn't run the ball against Washington. Little, 5 receptions for 34 yards. Cameron, 3 for 34 for the Browns. But Washington with a gigantic win. Now, Cleveland's not going anywhere, but again, Pat Shurmur, the coach, who I think is a good coach, he's playing for his job. They've been playing well lately, but not yesterday. Washington, 38. Cleveland, 21. We'll get to the standings. Washington, 8-6. And now has the lead on tiebreakers in the NFC East. And that's because the Giants played about as poorly as you could play yesterday. The Falcons getting revenge for last year's playoff loss in Atlanta. The Falcons slaughtered the Giants 34-0. It was really an interesting game early on from this perspective. Tynes missed a 30-yard field goal early in the game, and as a result of that and the fact that the Giants got behind 7-0, 14-0, 17-0. Tom Coughlin just refused to kick field goals again. Every time it was 4th and inches or 4th and 1 and 4th and 2 in field goal range, he decided to go for it, and every time the Giants didn't make it. They had 3 4th down opportunities when they could have kicked field goals. They decided not to. They missed all 3, and that's how you get shut out. I thought early on they should have kicked it to make it 17-3 before the half just to get on the board. They didn't. And then once it gets out of hand, you know, 24-0, 27-0, 34-0, I understand how you have to go for it. But if he had just kicked field goals in all those times, the Giants would have scored 9 or 12 points. And look, they weren't going to win the game. Atlanta was great. But the last time the New York Football Giants were shut out was back in 1996. So a very interesting game. Atlanta gets some revenge. I don't think you get revenge when you win a regular season game the year after you lose a playoff game. But certainly the Giants, who are one of the most up-and-down teams in football, can they win the Super Bowl? Absolutely. Can they not make the playoffs? Absolutely. And that's where they are now. They're tied for the lead. However, if the Giants do win their last two games, they will win at least a wild card spot. So they still do control their own destiny. Atlanta 34, Giants nothing. You know, what can you say about Matty Ryan? He's Matty Ryan, 23 for 28, 270 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. Turner, 16 rushes for 52 yards and one short touchdown. They're unbelievable at the wide receiver position, including the tight ends. Julio Jones, 6 for 74 yards and two touchdowns. Gonzalez, the ageless wonder, 6 for 49 and one touchdown. He made an unbelievable catch over the middle from 12 yards out. Some bad interceptions again from Manning. Asante Samuel, who always seems to pick off Manning. Remember, he was with the Eagles for a few years. Thomas Dacou also picked him off. Julio Jones had a great 40-yard touchdown catch. They're just too tough yesterday. I mean, it was like a non-game. It never was a game. And I think that field goal, the reason I don't say, I think it wasn't as bad as it looked, although obviously if they dominate them 34-0 or 34-9, you know, what does it really matter? I just think the Giants got out of what they do and just took Tynes, who's a very reliable kicker, just took him out of the game. And once Coughlin refused, even at 17-0, normally I think you want to put points on the board, even if it makes it 17-3, that was in the first half. And again, once you get way behind 24-0, 27-0, I guess you got to go for it every time. But every time they went for it, the Giants missed. And that's why they were shut out. Falcons 34, Giants nothing. Another big game, really a big game, I think, for the Colts. Well, I guess the Texans as well, because the Texans were manhandled last week by the Patriots up in New England. But yesterday, I think the Colts wish they could have had this first game at home. They hadn't played the Texans all year. The Colts obviously in a good position to be a wild card, but they were trying to take a long shot run at the division. They would have had to have beaten Houston twice. But yesterday in Houston, Indianapolis Colts go down there and lose to the Texans. Houston 29, Colts 17. Houston up 10-0 in the first quarter, up 20-10. At the half, Andre Johnson was unbelievable. He had 11 receptions for 151 yards, short TD catch, but he made some unbelievable catches. Houston blocks a punt and scores a touchdown. J.J. Watt, three sacks. I mean, J.J. Watt, I think he's the defensive player of the year. I understand Von Miller. I understand there are other candidates. Yesterday, he's got 19.5 sacks after getting three sacks yesterday. Again, Houston was up 20-3, and it never really was a game as they win 29-17. They have to play again in 2 weeks, but that game I don't think will mean very much of anything. Matt Schaub, 23 for 31, 261 yards and a TD, no picks. Foster was unbelievable, 27 rushes for 165 yards, and Andre Johnson, as I said, 11 for 151 and a touchdown. Andrew Luck, just so-so, 13 for 27 for 186 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Ballard, 18 rushes for 105 yards. Hilton, the real deal, three receptions for 78 yards and a touchdown. But Houston clinches the division. Houston 29, the Colts 17. Another big game, but really a game with teams going in opposite directions, so you kind of thought this one was going to turn out the way that it turned out. Packers in Chicago to play the Bears, but the Bears are going the wrong way. Packers 14-7 lead at the half. They win the game 21-13. You saw the frustration of Jay Cutler when he threw an interception. But it was really, the key was Aaron Rodgers hooking up with James Jones, not once, not twice, but three times. Green Bay 21, Chicago 13. Now, the Packers started 2-3, but since then they're 8-1 for a 10-4 record. Of course, you'll recall the Seattle game that they should be 11-3. I mean, that was a replacement ref joke game. But the Packers have overcome that to their credit. Green Bay 21, Chicago 13 in Chicago. Aaron Rodgers 23-36 for 291 and 3 TDs, no picks. No real rushing game to speak of. Green 13-35. Grant 8-32. But they have Aaron Rodgers and nobody else does. Cobb 6 catches for 115 yards for Green Bay. And of course, Jones 5 receptions for 60 yards, but 3 of them for touchdowns. Obviously, the key to the game. Cutler, just a terrible day for him. 12-21, 135 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Matt Forte, 20 rushes for 69 yards. Marshall, 6 receptions for 58 yards and a TD. Forte out of the backfield, 5-64, but it's not enough. Packers going north, Bears going south. We'll get to the standings in a bit. A few other games to get to. Vikings with maybe their MVP. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, though, but they have a chance. Vikings with their MVP. Adrian Peterson rushing 24 times for 212 yards, including an 82-yard touchdown run. They beat the Rams 36-22. The Vikings on the road in St. Louis, now 8-6. The Rams dropped to 6-7-1, and their playoff hopes are virtually gone. Ponder, the game manager now in Minnesota, 17-24 for 131 yards. Bradford, the losing quarterback, and that's why these stats get the way they are, 35-55 for 377 yards and 3 TDs. Good numbers, and 1 interception. Good numbers, but obviously you have to do that because you're down. You know, they were down 7-0 at the quarter, 30-7 at the half. And frankly, they scored 15 points in the fourth quarter when the game was pretty much over. Minnesota 36, the Rams 22. Adrian Peterson has a chance of breaking Eric Dickerson's record this year. And it was funny, if you saw the quote from Eric Dickerson, he's the first guy, I give him credit, he's the first guy to ever publicly say, no, I don't want him to break the record. He's a good dude. He seems like a good dude. He's a great back. But no, I don't want him to break my record. And usually you hear everybody saying the right thing. Yeah, records are made to be broken. But Eric Dickerson's name is brought up any time anyone even approaches 2,000 yards, never mind his record. So Peterson seems to me to be a lock for 2,000. But the question is, can he break Dickerson's record? And the answer is, yeah, he can. I mean, this guy's been unbelievable. And again, he rushed for 212 in the TD yesterday. Vikings keep their playoff hopes alive, 36-22 over the St. Louis Rams in St. Louis. The rest of the games will just roll through quickly, very little, if any, playoff implications. I think the Seahawks are probably the only team, we'll talk about that game in a minute. I think the Seahawks are the only team who pretty much are going to make the playoffs in the rest of these five games. But the Saints shut out the Buccaneers 41-0, to me essentially ending the Buccaneers' hopes. You know, Breeze 26 for 39, 307 and 4 TDs, but virtually a meaningless game. In that Seahawks game up in Toronto against the Bills, as you know, play in Toronto once a year. They picked the wrong game for this one. At the end of the game, the Toronto fans were shouting, let's go Blue Jays, because the Blue Jays, as you know, have made a ton of trades, and they're going to be real good this year. But yesterday in Toronto, the Seahawks 50, the Bills 17. You know, the Seahawks scored 58 last week, so there's a lot of talk about Russell Wilson as the rookie of the year. Wilson 14 for 23 for 205 and a touchdown, but he had 3 rushing touchdowns, so you have to give him credit. An amazing game for the Seahawks, but most people will be remembering Marshawn Lynch, 10 for 113 rushes for 113 yards and a TD. But most of this will be remembered for the fact that up 47-17, the Seattle Seahawks successfully ran a fake punt for a first down against the Bills. And everyone was howling incorrectly after the game. And Pete Carroll tried to, you know, it's unbelievable when these guys do these stupid things. You know, is it bad sportsmanship? Well, you know, some people say it's the pros, so you can beat each other up. You can beat each other to a pulp. But there's a classy way to play pro football, and there's a not classy way to play pro football. And a fake punt up 30 is a not classy way to play pro football. Now, Pete Carroll tried to minimize the whole thing, by saying, oh, you know, yeah, it was my fault. We had it in the play. We had it in the game plan. It was an automatic play, and I should have called it off, but I didn't. And, you know, that's a load of garbage. I mean, believe me, if Buffalo is ever in a position to kill Seattle, one way or the other, they will now. Seattle 50, the Bills 17, but that was unbelievably Bush League by Pete Carroll. And if you don't believe there should be sportsmanship in pro sports, I do. But if you don't, then the best I can give to you is it was a classless move by Pete Carroll. And again, something that will not be forgotten. We'll get to the rest of the games and the standings and a few other things right after the break. This is the Steve Callis Show. Or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
See the hottest musical event that's part talent show, part fairy tale, and all fun. Disney on Ice presents Rockin' Ever After. Introducing Merida from Disney Pixar's Brave. And featuring Ariel, Belle, and Rapunzel. Come luck out when Disney on Ice hits your town.
You and your family are invited to get kids' tickets for $10. Restrictions and fees may apply. Tickets available at Northeast Ohio Discount Drug Mart locations and theQArena.com. Playing Quicken Loans Arena, January 11th through 21st.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Are you tired of working at a job that makes someone else rich? Working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? If you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, but didn't know where to begin, one quick call to Guidant Financial can get you started. Guidant can show you how to buy a business or franchise without getting a loan or using your home or property as collateral. If you have over $50,000 in your 401k, IRA, or other retirement accounts, you can invest that money directly into a business or franchise without any tax penalties. Guidant can show you how. We've helped thousands of people just like you buy the business or franchise of their dreams. Call us right now at 1-800-570-1679. That's 800-570-1679. Get your free information on buying a business with retirement funds. Call 800-570-1679. That's 800-570-1679.
This is WWE Superstar The Big Show.
This is Edge.
This is Stacey Keibler.
What up? This is John Cena. You're logged on.
We're logged on.
And you're logged on to Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk Network.com.
Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few more games quickly, then we'll get to the standings, then we'll get to a few other things. The Cardinals hammer the Lions 38-10, a lost season for both teams. Cardinals started 4-0, now they're 5-9. The Lions have fallen off a cliff, and, you know, I'm not a big Jim Schwartz fan at all, and the way, I don't know, the way the Lions play, there's a lot of people, not just me, who are happy they're getting hammered. But yesterday, the Cardinals, still with virtually no quarterback, Lindley 14-21 for 104, they hammer the Lions, Cardinals 38, Lions 10. Carolina coming with a late surge again, but again, what does it mean? A lot of people expected a lot more. I think the Panthers were 4-2 their last six last year to win six games. Now they're 5-9. They hammer the Chargers in San Diego 31-7. You know, you're looking at the end of the North Turner era. But the Chargers now 5-9. The Panthers 5-9. Cam Newton 19 for 33 for 231 with two TDs. Panthers 31, Chargers 7. And finally, another game with two teams with a lost season. The Raiders on 5 Sebastian Janikowski field goals shut out the Chiefs in Oakland. Raiders 15, Chiefs nothing. Lost season for Romeo Crennel as well. He could be losing his job. Raiders 15, Chiefs nothing. To get to the playoff scene now, the Texans, Broncos, Patriots, Ravens are all in the playoffs now, and they're the first four seeds in that order. The Colts at 9-5, and the Bengals at 8-6 right now have the wild card. The Steelers a game out after that loss yesterday, and believe it or not, the New York Jets 6-7 playing tonight in Tennessee against the Titans. And you know, it's got to be the MFL, not the NFL. M standing for mediocre, the mediocre football league. If a team like the Jets still has a chance to make the playoffs, and I don't mean a long shot chance, I mean a chance, they can certainly win out and be 9-7. It's just hard to believe, if you watch the Jets like I do, it's hard to believe that they could possibly be a playoff team. But the schedule is what the schedule is, and you know, they're going through the easy part of their schedule now. They're 6-7. I don't think the Dolphins can get in it at 6-8, and then everybody else, of course, is out of it. In the NFC, a lot of interesting things happening, I think, because of the NFC East.
Hang up and try your call again. This is a recording. 440-888. Please hang up and try your call again. Please hang up and try your call again. This is a recording. 440-888. Please hang up and try your call again.
That's part talent show, part fairy tale, and all fun. Disney on Ice presents Rockin' Ever After. Introducing Merida from Disney Pixar's Brave. And featuring Ariel, Belle, and Rapunzel. Come rock out when Disney on Ice hits your town.
You and your family are invited to get kids' tickets for $10. Restrictions and fees may apply. Tickets available at Northeast Ohio Discount Drug Mart locations and theqarena.com. Playing Quicken Loans Arena, January 11th through 21st.
Get your NBA news when you want it, 24-7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going through the NFC playoffs. The Falcons, the 49ers, and the Packers have all made the playoffs. The Redskins have the 4 seed now. There's a 3-way tie with an 8-6 record. They have the tiebreaker. Seattle at 9-5 and Minnesota at 8-6 right now have the two wild card spots. But the Bears, the Cowboys, the Giants, all 8-6, all with a chance. The Giants, if they win their last two games, they're guaranteed at least a wild card spot because of tiebreakers. The Rams at 6-7-1, I think, are out of it. You know, so many teams would have to lose. They do have that tie. The best they can do is 8-7-1. So I don't think they're going to be able to make it. And then everybody else, including the Saints at 6-8, they just came up short after that disastrous off-the-field off-season that they had, which greatly affected them. So I think they're on the outside looking in. Again, the game tonight, the Jets at the Titans. And I'll say it again, it's shocking that the Jets can even have a chance to make the playoffs. But they have a chance. If they win, they'll only be one game out of a playoff spot with two games to go. And it's hard to believe as that is, that's the way it is in the NFL in the modern time. Leaving football now, a couple of interesting Major League Baseball notes. If you follow the R.A. Dickey saga, and look, Dickey's story is a fantastic story. And as you know, he won the Cy Young in the National League for the lowly Mets this year. On the one hand, the Mets think he should take a hometown discount. On the other hand, I think Dickey is saying he is giving them a hometown discount. The Mets, he's playing for $5 million this year. The Mets have him for $5 million this year, and he wanted a two-year extension at $26, $27, $28 million. Again, Dickey never with a gigantic, gigantic payday in his life. This is his payday. He's 38 years old. But the Mets are only offering 2 years, $20 million, and people will say, well, that's a lot of money for a 38-year-old knuckleballer. But when you see what all these other pitchers are signing for, Greinke for crazy money, Anibal Sanchez for crazy money, Dickey not asking for anything near what those guys are getting and only looking for a two-year extension. I'm sure he'd like three, but he'll take two. It's a tough thing for the Mets. It hurts Dickey a little because he was always viewed to be the good guy who wanted to be in New York, but it looks like, it's not official yet, but it looks like there's going to be a trade of R.A. Dickey to who else? The Toronto Blue Jays, who are really loading up to make a run in 2013, and even though they're in the very, very tough AL East, they might make a run with all the people they signed. You know, they traded for Josh Johnson and Mark Burley. If they put Dickey in the mix as well, my goodness, that's going to be a very interesting. Keep in mind, Dickey hasn't pitched in the American League lately, so they're not going to be remotely familiar with him as a knuckleballer. So Dickey to the Blue Jays is contingent on the Blue Jays signing R.A. Dickey to an extension. They've got 72 hours to do that. That 72 hours ends tomorrow, Tuesday, tomorrow afternoon. And again, they've loaded up. They traded for Jose Reyes and Burley and Johnson and Emilio Bonifacio. They signed Melky Cabrera, who's a question mark because, of course, he was using those PEDs, which made him look like and play like Superman this past year. But there's a feeling in New York that the Mets should have gotten an extra few million. And look, it's hard to say. It looks like right now the Mets are going to get some top prospects from the Blue Jays. And again, Toronto's all in to win this year. And they've always been in the wrong division. We'll see if with this new influx of talent, Josh Johnson was not good last year. When he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Mark Burley, a little long in the tooth, but is an innings eater. Dickey, again, I don't know if he can duplicate what he did last year. But he has pitched very well for the Mets. Even the 1 year he was 8-13, he pitched very well. But this year, it all worked for him. He won the Cy Young. He is going to get his payday, and it looks like it's going to be in Toronto. One other baseball note of interest, Andrew Jones, who, of course, was a big star for the Braves all those years, and the last few years played for the Yankees as a part-time DH/outfielder. He's decided to play next year in Japan. He signed a one-year $3.5 million deal with a Japanese team. Now, he fell off a cliff with the Yankees last year. He hit 14 home runs. I think 12 of them were in the first half, or 11. You know, most of them were in the first half. He was not good the second half of the year. And, of course, he can only play against lefties. So Andrew Jones off to Japan. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he did win 10 Gold Gloves in a row. He did hit 434 home runs. I think he will get some support. I don't think you ever heard any PED talk about Andrew Jones. I don't know if he's tarred with that brush that all these guys seem to be tarred with. But he's off to Japan. 1 year, $3.5 million is a pretty good deal for him, given the fact he hit 167 last year for the Yankees, mainly against left-handers. A few other things going on in the major leagues, in the NBA, I should say. You know, you can't get really excited about the Lakers, but the Lakers finally playing a little better. They beat the 76ers on the road. Now, the 76ers are a nice team. They're not a top team, but they're a nice team. Doug Collins does a great job. They were 12-11 going into the game, but last night the Lakers in Philly, and, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, his family lived in Philly. He grew up in Italy, but they lived in Philly for a while. And the Lakers beat the 76ers in Philadelphia. The Lakers won 11, the 76ers 98. Now, as you know, I picked the Lakers to win it all. And obviously, I'm sticking with that, of course. No Nash, no Gasol. But the Lakers 11-14 now, the 76ers 12-12. The reason I don't think you can get really excited is because the Lakers were 14-34 from three, which is fantastic, but they're not going to do that every day. And more unlikely, they were 19-24 from the free throw line, and Dwight Howard was 4-4. Now, if you follow Howard, you know, he's Chamberlain-like, he's Shaq-like when it comes to the foul line. But yesterday, he was shooting his foul shots like a foot behind the free throw line. And I don't know if that's why he was 4-4 or not. I don't know if that's his new way to shoot him or not. But, you know, all I can say is he's been in the league, I think, for 8 years now, and Shaq never really got better. Chamberlain never really got better. So I don't know how much improvement you can expect from Dwight Howard. But, hey, maybe this is a different way. Kobe being Kobe, 34 points, 6 rebounds. Met a world peace with an excellent game, and they're expecting more of this from him. 19 points, 16 rebounds. But with all that positive, they still only won 111-98. Young had 30 for the 76ers. He's a nice player. And, again, the 76ers, not that Iguodala was a superstar, but I thought he was a borderline star. They really don't have that star power. They're kind of like George Karl and the Nuggets. And look, these guys are great coaches, George Karl, Doug Collins, but I just don't think they have enough to do damage in terms of trying to win the NBA championship. A few other games last night. The Raptors, who always beat the Rockets in Toronto for some reason, the Raptors yesterday beat the Rockets 103-96. Anderson with 24 for the Raptors. Calderon with a triple-double, Jose Calderon. He's a nice player. He's kind of lost in Toronto. 18 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds. The first guy this year with two triple-doubles in the NBA. So give him credit, but the Raptors are only 6-19. The Rockets 11-12. The big story with the Rockets, of course, is Jeremy Lin's return tonight at Madison Square Garden. And, of course, the Knicks have been fine without him. I thought they should have kept Lin. I don't know all the hatred, and it sounded like hatred or jealousy, that a lot of the Knicks players, especially J.R. Smith, had for Lin. But Felton has done a great job. The Knicks are doing great. Lin got his money in Houston. But he comes back for the first time to the Garden. Now, you know, Houston's already played the Knicks and torched them down in Houston. It was unbelievable. But this is Jeremy Lin's first appearance in Madison Square Garden. I hope the crowd, he saved the Knicks season last year. I hope the crowd gives him a warm ovation because he certainly deserves it. A couple more games in the NBA last night. The Nuggets hammer the Kings 122-97 in Sacramento. McGee leads the Nuggets with 19. Thomas with 20 for the Kings. The Nuggets 13-12. The Kings 7-16. Again, I view the Nuggets and the 76ers to be kind of the same. Teams without a superstar who are good teams, very well coached, but certainly not enough to get over the hump in their respective conferences. In one other game, the Trailblazers have to struggle at home to beat the Hornets. Trailblazers in Portland 95, the Hornets 94. Trailblazers move up to 11-12. The Hornets drop to 5-18. J.J. Hickson, a nice player with 24 points and 16 rebounds for the Trailblazers. The Hornets led by Anderson with 26 points. That's your NBA from last night. Briefly, the college basketball over the weekend, the big news was Butler, always a good team, very well coached, made back-to-back final games, you'll remember, beat Indiana, or Final Fours, I should say, beat Indiana in Indiana, number one Indiana, Butler 88, Indiana 86, that was Saturday, so Indiana will fall out of the number one spot in overtime. Butler now 8-2, Indiana their first loss of the year, they dropped to 9-1. A few other top 10 games over the weekend. Louisville beats Memphis 87-78. Louisville ranked 6th in the country. They're now 10-1. Memphis drops to 6-4. Syracuse beats Canisius 85-61. And again, Syracuse has the soft schedule early. They're now 9-0. Canisius drops to 6-2, but they can't play with Syracuse. Number three, Michigan beats West Virginia 81-66. Michigan now 11-0. West Virginia drops to 4-5. And number five, Florida loses to number eight Arizona at Arizona, a good game among top 10 teams. Arizona gets the win 65-64. Arizona now 8-0. Florida drops to 7-1. Obviously, Florida number five will drop in the next poll. Arizona number eight will move up in the polls, obviously, very early in college basketball. Tonight in football, of course, really not the only game in town. We'll go through a few other ones, but the main game in town, the Jets in Tennessee to play the Titans. That's 8:30 Eastern on ESPN nationally. And again, this game, you know, you look at this game and you essentially say it's a dud, and it is a dud, except somehow, in the mediocre football league, the 6-7 Jets with a win will plant themselves firmly in the playoff picture. They will only be one game out of a playoff spot. It's again, it's hard to believe. And the scary thing is, Commissioner Goodell is talking about adding playoff teams, I mean. And, you know, what can I say? It's just a disgrace. It's another money grab on a industry that makes $11, $12, $13 billion a year. I mean, but the NFL rules the roost, and despite all these screw-ups this year, the replacement refs, Bounty Gate, wanting to add more playoff teams. No matter what they do, they can't kill this sport. It's a cash cow. I mean, it is just unbelievable. So Jets at Titans, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN tonight. Basketball, again, if you get the MSG Network, which I'm told is national, the Rockets, the Houston Rockets with Jeremy Lin at the Garden to play the Knicks. That's 7:30 Eastern on MSG. There's always a bunch of college basketball games on. I think the most interesting tonight, Detroit at Syracuse, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. And Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne at Notre Dame, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPNU. UNLV at UTEP, 8 o'clock Eastern on the CBS Sports Network. And Cornell at Vanderbilt, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPNU. Again, Jets at Titans, the headliner, 8:30 on ESPN. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.